Supreme knowledge establishes unity in life. That is a state which can be accomplished on the level of complete fulfillment in the relative existence. Complete fulfillment in the five field of relative existence is gained when we live in the celestial light. We live life in the celestial light. Then is the fulfillment in the relative gained. And on that level of complete fulfillment in the relative, we could step on to the absolute fulfillment of life in the unity. So what we aim at is this complete fulfillment in the relative. In cosmic consciousness, we gain freedom, but that alone is not enough. Freedom has to be glorified, and a life of fulfillment has to be lived, and that is in God consciousness. When we have the kingdom of heaven within, we may believe it or not, but if we have it, we should be able to live it. And when we live in the kingdom of heaven, which has been hidden within us, when we live that so far hidden kingdom of heaven in the outside day-to-day life, then the outside day-to-day life becomes fulfilled. That is fulfillment in life. When the kingdom of heaven, when that bliss consciousness becomes the guiding factor in our life. On that level of bliss consciousness, we live the life in the celestial light.
It's on. The five fields of relative life, could you go into that a little more?
Five fields of relative life, what do you mean?
I just thought I heard you say that very quickly.
Maharishi, there's some terms I'd like to ask you to clear up for me, because I've become confused about them.
Linguistics,
One, we talked about unwinding of stresses, and that the cosmically conscious man, his nervous system was at a point where his nervous system was completely unstressed, I thought. And I related that to impressions. And what I'd like you to do, please, is to relate unwinding of stresses, impressions, memory, and the role that intellect plays. Because intellect somehow seems to be related to impressions and memory as we make our decisions on that basis.
Read one by one.
Unwinding of stress.
Unwinding of stress. It's a new phrase. Do you find becoming very common in the valley?
Unwinding of stress. unwinding of the stress is a process that is natural to our constitution. Our nervous system, not only our nervous system, not only human nervous system, every nervous system is so built that it will by nature throw out any abnormality that is there. Now, lots of fatigue we gather during working during the day, and then the system cannot work anymore, it sleeps. Sleep is a natural phenomenon which is the result of stressed system. And with this rest, the stress goes away, the fatigue goes away, fine. So, the nervous system is built, already built such that it will not accumulate any more functional stress. It will stop to function when the stress has come to a certain level. It won't function. And then with the rest, it will start to be energetic again. In the morning, it will function again. In the night, it will rest again. This is a natural thing with our nervous system. Certain deep gone stresses due to our experiences in daily life. When the system is resting and the general fatigue is neutralizing, then due to rest, some areas begin to unwind. Due to this activity, some mental activity takes place, and that one sees dreams, hazy, illusory experiences in dreams are also the result of unwinding of the stress, which is a natural process going on in the fatigued nervous system. Now, in meditation again, the mind goes deeper. We have dealt with it, I'll just hint it. The mind goes deeper, the metabolic rate becomes less. Much deeper rest is gained, then one gets in deep sleep. Due to this deep rest, more deep-rooted stresses begin to unwind themselves. Due to that, we get some thoughts. This is the role of thoughts during meditation, that they arise out of the unwinding of some deep stresses. This unwinding of stress is a natural process that goes on in the body in order that the body should function more and more naturally. More and more naturally. Certain situations arise, and maybe some boil comes up here. This boil is due to the same tendency of nervous system to throw out some abnormality, some pain, something, things are thrown out of the body. The whole body is so constructed that it wants to take care of itself, doesn't want any foreign material. If some thorn goes in, the body doesn't bear it, it wants to throw it out. So the system is so constructed that it takes care of itself. So, a process which naturally goes on in sleep, it naturally goes on during meditation. There is nothing special about it. Only when we have known this, that all negative thoughts may have something to do with the unwinding of the stress. Just this knowledge, and how we make use of this knowledge, instead of allowing our mind to be haunted by those negative thoughts, we close the eyes, put the mind in the activity on the physical system, and by virtue of feeling the activity, the mind is not contaminated by negativity. It just allows the unwinding to go out and is not spoiled. This is the advantage, this is the practical advantage of this knowledge of unwinding of stress. Any time, no matter what time, wherever you may be, if you begin to feel negative, no matter on what, on your friend, on your enemy, on your relation, on anything, on the road, on the government, on the police, on anything, if you begin to feel negative, close the eyes and feel the body and get it out. This is the practical use of this knowledge of unwinding. Otherwise, there can be no ending to your wasting energy and wasting time and wasting life on certain whim that your mind may pick up during the unwinding. I must do that and I must do that and I must do that and I must... mad after doing that, and in the end nothing comes out. When that impulse goes away, then you return from there. What is the use of moving on impulses like that? So wisdom demands that if we have known the mechanics of certain aspect, we make use of it in daily life. Any time, any negative feeling towards anyone, now we have the gauge in our own self. How to gauge that a particular negative feeling is resulting from the unwinding, or it's a genuine feeling towards that man? How to gauge it? How to examine it? By closing the eyes and just letting the attention be on the body in a very natural way. If there is no sensation anywhere, absolutely no sensation anywhere, then we can feel justified that it is that man who is throwing that vibration onto me. But if we find any slight sensation here or there or here, anywhere, any little bit, by feeling that little bit, in half a minute, 2 minutes, it goes away, and you open the eyes, immediately your mind will go on something else and that aspect of mood is gone. Otherwise, in any negative mood, if you go on doing something, then it won't be good, it won't be useful, it won't be beneficial. So we take that moment of negative mood out of it. We hit at the root, we meet it at its start, and don't allow our psychology to build up. Because any wrong understanding may just grow up and grow up, and you start taking action on that, will spoiling your whole future. The wisdom of unwinding is to save us from falling into negative actions, negative performances, into negativity. Because falling into negativity means inviting more suffering, misery due to lack of foresight. This is the use of this knowledge of unwinding. We don't have to keep on thinking always, but always we are ready to make use of it. Yeah?
Maharshi, I recently had the experience of being in the presence of a person who was dying. It brought to mind a couple of questions. First off, if a person is not in cosmic consciousness and found that he was dying, what advice would you give to him at this moment? And also, if you were in the presence of somebody who was dying, what would you In other words, what the question is, if you were not in cosmic consciousness, what would you do as you were dying? And if you were in the presence of someone who is dying, who is not in cosmic consciousness, how would you guide them?
Depending upon the man who is dying, well, if a man is dying, and if I can have a word with him, I would just tell him, feel the presence of God around you. That's the word of God around you. Let him have this feeling of God, just God. God is the word which he has heard during his lifetime, whether he believed it or not. But that is a word, something holy, something high, something elevating, and it is the word of God that I'll whisper on the ears of a dying man, and that will elevate his consciousness to some level or the other. And that is all our concern, elevate the level of consciousness, something. And the word of God, I can't think of anything else other than whispering the word of God in his ears, giving him a lift, whatever lift towards the end he could get.
What if one of us found ourselves dying and we had not yet reached cosmic consciousness? Should we begin meditating as we are dying?
That's right. Mantra and meditation, and we'll be, immediately the mantra will take us, because it's our habit, takes us deep down there. And if we leave the body established in that field near about the celestial, that is the field we are going to. That is the field we are going to.
Also, if this person who, could we, instead of using the word God, which has, you know, some people don't like that word these days, could we use the word love? Would that be also elevating?
The word love will immediately bring to his mind all his beloved ones, and that will be drawing him on to this level. That will draw him on to this level. God is something high up, whatever. A man who says, who doesn't like God, such a man who hates God and hates any power, and that, if he finds himself in a forest, and a wild elephant coming from here, and a tiger jumping from here, he says, God save me. In a state of helplessness, as long as he feels himself and so much egotistic himself, so long he doesn't want anything, no God, nothing, I, you know. And when that I is in a surrounding of helplessness, say, some higher power, some higher being. Not knowingly God, oh, save me, immediately some prayer will burst forth of it from his mouth. I'll tell you what happens generally is, hundreds of cases I've heard, non-believers, staunch non-believers in God and haters of God and always speaking bad of religion, not good, God no good, religion no good. When they start to meditate, and when they come next day for checking, and if I am busy for 5 minutes, another man who comes to them, they start talking to him on religion, and so deeply religious they become. Instantaneous transformation has been seen. One or two sittings they have meditated at home and come for checking, immediately, and the man to whom they were talking later on tells me that what has happened to this man? He was giving such a beautiful sermon on religion. Non-belief is a very irrational thing. Only a very small mind, a very, very narrow, restricted mind can be so bold as to say, where is God? Doesn't exist. Nothing. Ask him whether he has verified all that there is in creation. Someone who could say, I have seen that everything that there is in creation, but I have not seen God. Only such a man can say God doesn't exist. A man doesn't know what lies behind his back and takes the responsibility that the Creator is nowhere. Only a very small mind can be so bold in his ignorance, shrouded in his ignorance to such a great extent that he can't even be rational. Who knows what is hidden behind the sun, behind the moon, in one of the places in the Milky Way? Just to take the responsibility of the whole knowledge of the world that no God, nothing. It's just sheer depth of ignorance. Complete irrational. We are better as believers. We don't lose in believing. Someone says, I have 10 roses in my house. Oh, beautiful, you are fortunate, fine. In believing, we are safe. And in non-believing, suppose the thing comes out tomorrow, then we'll be wrong. Always we are safer when we believe. Anyone anything says, oh fine, good, it's possible. What is not possible in this diverse creation of the Almighty Creator? Everything. Only man, it needs a big mind and a big heart to accept the people. If someone has some experience, what right we have to disbelieve it? No right. We have certain experiences. If we say to others as our experience, and if he doesn't believe, how much hurt we feel? Out of kindness I am telling him my great experience and he is not believing it. Like that, if someone says his experience or belief, we don't disbelieve. No. Nothing we disbelieve. In believing, we are safe. We have a bigger mind, bigger heart. Therefore, it's not good not to believe. All we are believers. We believe in things that may be anybody's experience, doesn't matter. Someone says, theory of creation, creation was made this way and this way and this way and this way. We say, fine. There was one way in which, one manner in which the flower blossomed. There was another manner in which the leaf came out. It was a third manner in which the root gave rise to the stem. Completely different manners of expression. We can believe 1,000 theories of creation, and we won't be wrong. Therefore, we always take a good side of things like that. I was talking on social behavior today. Someday I will talk on divine behavior. And then I will talk of Gurudeva. Someday on divine behavior. Now we are on the level of human behavior. That speaks of his story or not?
Oh, yeah.
It does. The Absolute is a direct experience through meditation, finer state of thought, finer mantra, and then transcendental consciousness. That consciousness is unboundedness of life. Now, when we are behaving in the relative field means field of change. If we have our awareness hooked on to the absolute non-changing, then we will really be able to enjoy the field of change. Because the absolute, whereas it is stable, which contrasts with the changing sphere of relative life, it is also bliss consciousness. So when our mind is hooked on to absolute bliss consciousness, unbounded awareness, then our mind coming out into the field of change remains infused with those values. It starts living bliss consciousness. Bliss consciousness means happy mood all the time. In a crude way we define bliss consciousness, happy mood all the time. More permanent, more established. And with this what happens is that the mind becomes very dynamic. So, the value of the experience of the Absolute is that it makes our relative life more dynamic, more successful, at the same time more restful, more happy. Yeah? I am one with you. We'll go to the celestial. And from there we'll do what we want to do. Then if we want to step on to the Absolute, we will. If not, we will not. But let's prepare for that blessed state of celestial life. I am all for it. And that is God consciousness, we say God consciousness. Huh? God consciousness.
But is there any reason why we would want to forget? Is there any individual appreciation in this state, or is it as though the individual appreciation just doesn't exist?
The thing is, if we can desire to be the king of United States, then having been that, it may be natural to desire to be the emperor of the world. That will be the difference. The king of a country, or the emperor of the